I just want to go on record and say that they don't know how to send an email, but I figured out a workaround.
So we've been sitting here for about, let's say, 10 minutes.
10 minutes, no way.
I'm already done with my beer at this point. I should probably go grab a second one with how long it took you to get here.
Nope, nope, not the case, not the case.
Nope.
I'm sending you something really quick. You'll appreciate this.
All right, I will wait for you to send that. So this is the first episode in roughly 5 months. Buffalo Soldier. We got some off-season action. We're going to cover the NFC for this episode. And my notes, I wrote them back in May, towards the end of May. So some things may have changed. So I'm counting on you, Ben, to let me know where I'm wrong.
Oh, I'll do it. I'll do it.
I'll jump right into it. And so I figured we can start with the NFC East, and we'll start with the Cowboys, you know, America's team.
Nope.
Just go around them. Nope. So for the Cowboys, some of their notable offseason pickups that I saw was Keanu Neal. They got him, and they're having him play a linebacker. So I'm guessing like a hybrid, kind of like Tyrann Mathieu type of deal there. They also re-signed two receivers. And that's about all they did in the
Well, they got like, Trevon Diggs, too.
Oh, they got Trevon Diggs, too.
Yeah, so that's cool.
Pretty cool. Some injuries that they have. Dak, he's expected to play. Don't know how healthy he'll be for it. Don't know if he'll be at 100% or if it's going to be just throw him out there for the Wolves.
And go with option B.
They got Rashard Robinson. He's a cornerback. He's out for them. And I guess Amari Cooper had lower leg surgery, and he's questionable for the beginning of the season.
Gotcha. Cowboys
did not. They're just banking on their team, basically. For their draft, though, they did get Mekhi Parsons, who is just an absolute monster. He didn't play last year, but he was so good in the Big Ten the year before when he was playing.
Yep.
For Steele, they got another linebacker out of LSU, Jabril Cox, who was a great pass defender. And he also played at NDSU, which we all know is the Bama of JV. So, I mean,
the Bama of JV. Not this year.
This year was a rough one for them. They went out the same time UND went out. I was kind of sad. I was hoping UND could at least make it one more round, but.
Too many Buffalo stampeding on their campus, apparently.
Exactly. So with all that, my thoughts are that, you know, if Dak's back at 100% and he's able to play at 100%, they're probably an early favorite to win the East. If he's not 100% and he's like 90%, I don't think I can see him winning the East.
Well, they also got rid of Mike Nolan, their D coordinator, brought in Dan Quinn, so there's that.
Maybe their defense will actually be a defense then.
Yeah, he's a good D coordinator. He's a shitty coach. And they also signed Dak to that massive deal. So.
And then he decided to break his leg like a fucking loser. Gosh.
Well, no, they re-signed him. Like,
oh, no, they re-signed him after. Year. That's right.
Because they were in these big negotiations because Dak Prescott, quarterback of all time.
I'm surprised that he's able to like swing that with that injury.
Yeah, it's a bold strategy. We're going to see how it plays out, God.
Cowboys have been known for their very, very smart decisions the last 20 years, so.
Oh, yeah, always.
Always. But, yeah, so that's my thoughts on the Cowboys. If Dak's healthy and they can play as well as they did last year, I mean, they didn't really need to add that much. They just needed Dak to play, so.
Yeah.
They got a good potential this year winning the East. Next, I got the Giants. Up here, they got for offseason pickups. They picked up Corey Clemens, the running back from the Eagles. They got Calvin Benjamin. They're having him working at tight end. They re-signed Leonard Williams. They also got a starting linebacker, D tackle, guard, cornerback, and inside linebacker. So they loaded up in the offseason.
Yeah, well, they an all-right team. I think they're going all in here with Jones.
Yeah, I think they're going to give him a chance this year and see, like, hey, can you do it?
Yeah, I think he's going to be all right, but he's not going to be, like, great.
He just needs to be, like, a top 10 quarterback. He doesn't even need – he just needs to be a top 15 quarterback and he can win the East, honestly.
Well, they also – here's a big move. So, Kelvin Benjamin moved from receiver to tight end, and they picked him up.
Yep. He'll be a big body receiver. Hopefully, he'll be, like, rejuvenating his career. Maybe he'll
be
relevant again, hopefully.
I'm going through the notes here. So, they have Danny Shelton. They picked him up. He's a D-tackle. Chris Milton, a cornerback.
Yep.
Adoree Jackson's another cornerback.
Yep.
They re-signed Leonard Williams, who I think he's kind of underrated. He was really good coming into the league, but he hasn't made as much noise as I thought he would. It's because he started with the Jets.
Yeah, but he's the best player on the Jets.
Yes.
Which, I mean, isn't saying much, but it at least lets you know that he was a star player, I guess.
Yeah, and Antoine Bethea, the safety, he retired.
Yeah.
They waived Freeman from the IR.
Yeah, I figure once they got Clemens, they didn't really need Freeman anymore.
Yeah, well, they got rid of Freeman and then picked Clemens up. So, yeah, Devontae Freeman's probably just done.
Probably done, yeah. It's just too many injuries.
Yeah, so the Giants are going to be so-so this year. Probably win, like, 10 games.
That's all you need, though. They can win. If they can win one over 10 games, they can win the East.
Well, dude, the East, I think Washington's going to take the East. That defense is young and it's really good.
Okay, well, when we get there, we'll okay.
Just throwing it out there.
We got Saquon's knee is still questionable. And for injuries, also Kyle Rudolph. They picked up Kyle Rudolph, too. He's expected to be ready week one. I think he had an ankle injury or something. But he's expected to be ready by week one. For the draft, they got a receiver, Kadarius Toney, out of Florida, who was – I mean, he was really explosive at Florida, but my only problem was that he wasn't the number one, like, receiving threat in Florida, so he never had – I mean, he probably did have, but not all the time would have the stress of the top corner always being on him.
Yep.
But, I mean, with Amari Cooper there, he doesn't have to be the number one. With Calvin Benjamin, if he does really well, you know, then you have this guy as a third option, throw him in the slot or something and be a good weapon.
Yeah.
For their steal, I got Azeez Ojulari. He's an outside linebacker out of Georgia. They got him 50th overall. And he should have been a first rounder, but slipped to the second round. The reason why he slipped, though, is because he has arthritis. But he is only 20, so, I mean, like, he's very young, has a lot of potential, and will be a complete monster out there.
What was his name again?
Azeez Ojulari.
Oh, okay.
He's from Georgia.
Yeah, I'm just looking up because Kadarius Toney out of Florida was the first pick.
Yep. They got him 20th overall.
They grabbed two linebackers and two outside backers, actually.
Yeah, before I my thoughts on the Giants. Before I did any research, I figured the Giants were going to be the Giants. After I've looked at their offseason moves, I think they had a really, really good offseason, and they're going to make the East very competitive.
And, but since they're the New York Football Giants, they can't win.
But since they're the Giants, they can't win more than 10 games. So
bingo.
There's that. But I think the Giants could possibly win the East this year after looking at all the stuff they added on and depending on how Benjamin fits into tight end and all that, seeing how Saquon comes back. If Saquon comes back healthy, dude, that's game over for the East.
Yeah, it depends how he comes back too. Like if that injury nags at all, that's going to change a lot of things.
Yeah, it's okay. He can still clean 400 pounds. I believe in him.
Yeah, so what's the next team? We're going to the Washington Football Team, or are we going to the Philadelphia Dumpster Fire?
We're
going
to go to the Philadelphia Eagles here. We'll end on Washington. So for the Eagles, they picked up Ryan Kerrigan, who was an edge rusher for Washington for a long time, and he's very good. He's just getting older, though. They got Eric Wilson, who will be a starting middle linebacker for them. They got Greg Ward, who's going to be like probably a third option at wide receiver.
Which claimed Kerryon Johnson off of waivers too. Just throw that in there.
And but most importantly, they have Joe Flacco, which, you know what? Before, I thought maybe the Eagles would be the worst team in the division, but they have Joe Flacco now.
And yeah, with that, it's dumpster fire of a quarterback room where they're like, yeah, Jalen Hurts is our guy, and they trade Wentz. And then they're like, maybe he's not our guy. Maybe we should go get Deshaun Watson. So they're still in the Watson rat race, except he has this whole masseuse problem.
See, here's their problem, though, is that they don't need Deshaun Watson. They have Joe freaking Flacco, all right? He could throw a pigskin a quarter mile.
If he didn't have the lights go out in that Super Bowl, he wouldn't have won that. And if he would have never won that Super Bowl, he'd probably be out of the league.
Now, Ray Lewis would have headbutted everybody on that team and get them pumped and a little concussed, and they would have been good to go.
Well, it looks like they picked up Boston Scott again, too, because they had him last year.
Oh, they re-signed him?
Yeah, it's an exclusive rights contract.
Nice, nice. Injuries, they don't really have anything notable. I saw they have, like, a few nagging things that are, like, questionable, but nothing, like, notable, any starters. For their draft, their first pick, they got Devontae Smith, the Alabama wide receiver, 10th overall, Heisman Trophy winner, unstoppable. The only thing is he's a little skinny, but if they had him add like 15 to 20 pounds, he could possibly be one of the best receivers in the East. Bulk him up a little bit. I mean, to be fair though, the East doesn't have that much competition outside of Amari Cooper, so. When you think
Giants,
when you think elite talent, well, the Giants the I think have a good like best all around.
Yeah, the Cowboys have one of the best like receiving cores in football right now because they got Amari Cooper, they got CeeDee Lamb, Gallup. I mean, they're pretty stout. And the Eagles right now, I don't know who else they have because they let Jeffrey go, and then they have Fulgham. That's probably on the other side of Devontae Smith, because I would think Devontae Smith is going to either A, start as the number one, or B, work his way right into it.
I think he's going to start at number one right away.
Yeah.
For their steal, they got another Bama guy. They got their old lineman, Landon Dickerson.
Yep.
37th overall. Their draft overall, when I was looking through it, there wasn't a lot of like really good steals that I saw. At least, like, right now, just looking at it, like, it just seemed like, okay, these all made sense of where they got picked up.
But I think the biggest steal that they got there was trading the number six pick
and still to Miami. Devontae Smith.
And then picking up Devontae Smith at 12. Getting another pick in the draft here and then a first next year.
Yeah. That's going to help them a lot with their whole everybody's in the wheelchair because, you know, why build for the future?
Yeah, right.
But Dickerson, he'll be a good backup lineman at any position, and if they need him to start somewhere, I'm sure he'll be able to fit in there. My thoughts on this is that the Eagles are going to be complete trash. They're old. They will be spending the next 5 years trying to become relevant again. And hot take, Smith will be the best receiver in the East by the end of the year.
I could agree with that. I don't think he'll be the best, but he'll be –
Oh, no, I got him down as definitively the best receiver in the East. He'll be unstoppable.
You think he'll be better than Amari?
Yep. Huh. I think Amari has – I think he drops too many balls.
Yeah.
That's my only issue with Amari, but
– If Devontae Smith can keep his speed and pack on 15 pounds, maybe 20 pounds, he can be pretty damn good.
Yeah, as long as they don't start running him slants down the middle over and over again and try to kill the kid, he'll be good.
Yeah, yeah. Well, cool.
I guess they also – because they got rid of Doug Peterson too, didn't they?
I don't think so.
I thought they got a new head coach. Or maybe it was just talks that they were going to get rid of Doug Peterson. Not that
– Oh, they did. They did get rid of him.
So maybe with a new coach, I don't know, maybe a new philosophy will come in, a good offense – I don't know. I can't see it happening.
Yeah,
I think they kind of just blamed all their shortcomings on coaching and quarterback play when it really was more of we don't have a team.
Yeah, well, they got Nick Sirianni. That's his name. Oh, no, he came from the Colts.
Oh, came from the Colts. Was he like a OC or DC?
God, so many questions. Let me look.
I guess I don't really care. It doesn't change my opinion on the Eagles.
No, you care. You care. You care.
They're still going to be a dumpster fire this year. They'll maybe win 4 games, and they're not going to be worth watching. And if they have any primetime games, which I don't remember the primetime schedule off the top of my head, it'll be a travesty to that Monday night.
He was the offensive coordinator for the Colts for like 3 years.
Well, hopefully he'll be able to help that offensive line then, because that was the big issue last year, I think. But
I think the big issue is the drama at quarterback. But yeah, let's move on.
Moving on to the Washington football team. Notable offseason pickups. Nothing really. They basically just lost all their good old players.
No data available for Washington transactions, according to ESPN.
Yep.
They made picks.
I looked, and they literally did not do like anything relevant in free agency. They just got rid of all their old players. Like, we don't want you. Injuries, nothing really noticeable. For their draft, their first pick was an inside linebacker out of Kentucky, Jamin Davis. He got 19th overall. He only played one season, but showed that he could be one of the best inside linebackers that can cover the pass game as well. And will be like an island in the midfield. That's at least what they're saying. Their steal at the 82nd overall pick, they got a receiver out of North Carolina, Damon Brown. Kid runs a 4.4, be a great slot option. He's 6'1", 189, so just don't run any slants with this kid. And he could be a good like few hundred-yard receiver, couple touchdowns that you'll need.
Yeah. They let Alex Smith walk, right?
Yeah, they let Alex Smith walk. They got rid of Kerrigan. They got rid of a few linemen. They got rid of a few other defensive players.
Did Alex Smith get picked up?
No, I think he retired.
Okay. I thought he retired too, but I couldn't remember if he – because I thought he's put the feelers out.
No, I think his wife kind of told him, hey, we're done. He's like, okay, honey.
Gotcha. Yeah, that makes sense.
My thoughts on Washington is that they may be worse than the Eagles.
No.
I'm just letting you know, that's my thoughts.
That defense is so young and up and coming. Like, that front four, their D-line might be the best D-line of football.
I guess I did miss one thing. They do have Ryan Fitzmagic now. That is one thing that I guess I missed, but...
Well, who are they running with at quarterback this year?
That's Ryan Fitzmagic. Kind of a
big question. Is that who they're going to run with?
That's who they're running with.
Well, because I know they paid that Taylor Heinicke guy.
I think right now Fitzpatrick is the
Kyle Allen. Kyle Allen.
Oh,
they brought him in there because I'm not a big Kyle Allen guy, but Riverboat Ron wanted to take a gamble on him.
Well, did Riverboat Ron draft him?
Yeah, he played in Carolina. Because remember with Carolina when Cam Newton got hurt, that's who stepped in.
Yeah, I remember that.
So Riverboat Ron's out here shaking the dice.
It's not going to be good. I have my early rankings for the East. If you would like to hear them, I got them ranked 1 through 4. At 4th, I have the Washington football team.
No.
At 3rd, I have the Eagles. At 2nd, nope. I really had to think about it. 2nd, I got the Cowboys. 1st, I got the Giants.
No. I'd actually take Washington as my number one out of the East.
My number two,
I'd go Cowboys, and the Giants would be 3, but 2 and 3 are going to be pretty tight. And then at the very bottom of the barrel is Philadelphia.
See, I really had to fight putting Philadelphia at 3. I really wanted to put them at 4, but with – Washington literally not doing anything and just losing players. Like, I can't – their defense is good and all, but with all the other teams loading up, defense can only hold them for so long.
Yeah, but my whole thing is, so, like, looking at it on paper, the Cowboys should run away with the East, but I just don't see them doing it.
I don't know. Looking at paper, I think the Giants run away with the East, but it's the Giants, so I can't say they're going to run away with the East.
which is where we land back on Washington being number one
again. That's what I got for them. So now we can move on to the North.
The North. Can we start with Aaron Rodgers?
We'll start with the Bears.
Oh, okay. All right.
We'll get to Rodgers. Don't worry. So the Bears, they picked up the fifth year for Roquan Smith. And they got a lot of –
pay that man.
Oh, they're going to have to pay that man if they want to keep him, because he's going to be like a max linebacker. So, and they also got a lot of solid backup players that'll be good for like rotations and stuff. So that's good for them.
They picked up Marquise Goodwin. He's a receiver. Yep. He's like a good slot probably.
Yeah, I figured he probably won't start, but he could go in the rotation. Oh.
They also picked up Desmond Trufant and got rid of Kyle Fuller. So there's that.
That's interesting. See how Trufant does.
Yeah, outside of that, there's not a lot of notable pickups, really.
Yeah. When I looked at it, there wasn't too much. Injuries, they don't really have anything notable, just a few things here and there that'll be healed up by season. Justin Fields, they got him first pick, 11th overall. He was disappointed going so late in the draft. He wasn't a top 10, so now, you know, got that little chip on his shoulder, probably has the most fire in his belly to show that he was slept on, but also has to play in Chicago, which is going to really suck.
Well, to put it into perspective, he hasn't even touched the field yet, and he might be one of the best quarterbacks that they've ever had play for him.
Yep. their steal, they got a real good steal, and their 151st overall pick. They got Larry Baroom, an outside tackle, or offensive tackle, sorry, from Missouri. And he'll be a solid backup for the line if anyone goes down.
Well, they picked up Tevin Jenkins, too. He's an offensive tackle. Mm-hmm. He was their second-round pick, it looks like. It looks like they didn't have a third or fourth rounder.
No. I thought this guy, though, being so late in the draft, but being able to, like, be a backup, potentially become a starter by the end of the year, I figured that he'd be one of their best steals that they got.
Yeah, well, I think the Bears are going to be a middle-of-the-road team, but it really goes on Justin Fields' back because they got Mooney, who's a young, really good receiver. David Montgomery is a really good running back. And they got a couple different pieces in place there on the offense. They have the pieces in place to where they shouldn't be 8-8, and they might be that middle-of-the-road team again. They're not winning the North.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel about it. The Bears, they didn't really do much in the offseason, but they did get the new quarterback. And arguably, they were a quarterback away last year from winning the North, or at least being contenders, rather than being a one-and-out type of team.
Yeah, well, like, historically speaking here, one of their best quarterbacks is smoking Jay Cutler, you know? So,
you know what? And he may be one of the best quarterbacks of all time. We don't know. We'll have to wait until he gets inducted to the Hall of Fame. That way we can
– Who, Jay Cutler?
Yeah. But
Jay Cutler's not a Hall of Famer, but go on.
We'll have to wait for that discussion. Once he becomes eligible, we can discuss
that. As much as I'd love to see smoking Jay after he takes his wife's money in a divorce get into the NFL Hall of Fame, I don't think it's going to happen.
It's only 50% of her money, okay? It's not all of her money.
That was funny. It's like he's trying to get 50% equity of her business after she was like trying to get a brand new house out of him.
That's not fair. I should get a house. He shouldn't get anything out of me. So I think he probably overstepped. Maybe should have went like, okay, give me like 25%, you know?
But yeah, smoking Jay, dude. He's just negotiating his way in.
You know, good on him. Good on him. But yeah, so I think the Bears probably like a middle of the pack team for the North. We got the Lions. They got Jared Goff, but they lost Kerryon Johnson. They lost Kenny Galladay, but they got Terrell Williams.
And Matt Stafford's gone.
Yeah, but they got Jared Goff, dude. He's way better.
Yeah, definitely an upgrade. I'm just glad that they let Matt Stafford at least have discretion on where he wanted to go.
Yeah.
Because they've dropped the ball with two other like premier Hall of Fame players, Barry Sanders and Calvin Johnson, with that.
Yeah, they got to give Calvin Johnson his money back. That's what they need to do.
Yeah. Let's see.
For some injuries, they didn't really have any injuries. most teams.
They didn't really pick a lot of people up.
No, other than Goff and Terrell Williams, they lost more than they gained.
Well, the biggest gain they had from the offseason is that draft, because they drafted in the first round. Swell from Oregon, that tackle.
Yep, 7th overall.
Yeah.
They call him a generational talent. Be a solid.
I think he's going to be really good.
I hope so. I hope he can live up to the hype.
It's just a damn shame he went to the Lions, you know.
True, but I mean, Joe Thomas played for the Browns, so.
Yeah, and look at how miserable that was.
And then for their steal, they really didn't have much. So I have a D tackle out of Washington, Levi Onwuzurike. I butchered that name. Got him 41st overall. He will be starting on a beefy D line. If I remember right, he's like 3+6, 4 or something like that. Just a big old boy sitting at nose tackle. So
what's his name?
Levi Onwuzurike.
Onwuzurike? Yeah, the Washington.
Yeah, he's a big boy.
Well, they got Aleem McNeil, too, out of NC State. He's a nose tackle. I'm looking here at ESPN's needs, though. They didn't really fill a lot of their needs.
No, they didn't do, shit. My thoughts.
Typical Lions offseason.
Yep, Lions are the Lions. They lost some great players, but the future may be bright depending on how Goff transitions to the cold in the north. But, I mean, they do play the Dome, so.
Well, we're going to see here how good Goff actually is, because he's been playing under McVay's offense.
Well, if he can play well, they have a quarterback for another 10 years.
Yeah, but the whole thing is, and like, I like Jared Goff more than most people do. But I think he was a part of the system that McVay had in place.
I think he was a garbage quarterback.
Well, like, he fit the system, but Matt Stafford's about ready to blow that system into, like, oblivion. It's about ready to go to the moon.
First 6,000-yard season?
Maybe. Not even kidding. There's 17 games, and they got two pretty good receivers and Robert Woods there.
That's right, 7,000-yard season?
Yeah.
Be like Madden numbers, throwing 580 every game.
Well, dude, Matt Stafford's been playing with like one good receiver, and that's about it. He had Kenny Golladay.
Golden Tate.
Before that, too. It was just Megatron. Yeah, I guess he had Golden Tate, but Golden Tate's like 8 years past the prime.
Yeah, and he's hit or miss on whether he's going to have a good game or a bad game.
Yeah.
But now we can move on to the Packers, because I know how much you want to talk about the Packers.
Aaron.
For their notable offseason pickups, I got Mercedes Lewis. Also, of course, Blake Bortles, potential starting quarterback. Like, I don't know.
Jordy Love's job, dude.
I don't know why they want to put in that type of competition for Rodgers that they know he's going to lose against the man, the myth, the legend, Blake Bortles. But they must not have a lot of faith in Rodgers.
The biggest notable re-signing that they had was Aaron Jones. I really thought they were going to let him walk.
Yeah, with A.J. Dillon there.
Yeah, well, A.J. Dillon's good, but Aaron Jones, he's getting paid like a top five back now. So I thought sure they'd let him walk to a team like the Jets or something.
Well, they got Dillon at a steal, so even if, like, Jones doesn't put up as much production, they still have Dillon there to just smash it in.
In reality, with football right now, it's like you need to have a 1-2 punch at running back. You can't just have one solid back anymore. At least I don't think.
Unless they're a top three running back, but outside that.
Well, I'm just saying, even the life of like a Saquon Barkley or an Ezekiel Elliott, I mean, you prolong their career, get more longevity here if you have another back to kind of pair with them and have a 1-2 punch where they might be the power back and they need a speed back too.
Yeah, I suppose. I don't know. I think
if the running back's good enough,
they can make it, but.
The most notable thing here is in the first round, the Ravens stole Bateman out of Minnesota right before they picked. So they wound up with Eric Stokes, that cornerback out of Georgia, who's going to be good, I think.
No matter how good this guy could be a lockdown corner. He could be Revis for all we know, and it doesn't matter because he wasn't a receiver.
Yeah, and that's all because of the Packers fan base being pissed off about it. I don't think Rodgers is really as pissed. I think it's more just the Packers fan base coming out and the media, too.
What you mean? ESPN constantly saying how they never picked up a receiver for Rodgers is lighting a fire under the fan base. What are you talking about? What do you mean?
They picked up a receiver in this draft, Amari Rodgers out of Clemson in the third round.
Mm-hmm.
Not that he's going to be like Davante Adams necessarily, but it's like, I mean, they've had their opportunities where they could have definitely got a good receiver to pair with Davante. Nothing against Valdez-Scantling or anything like that, but does make a difference.
That can actually catch a ball.
Yeah, I mean, Valdez-Scantling, he'd be good as like a slot.
Yeah,
but
I think he lost a lot of. I hope he worked on his hands a lot in the offseason. Otherwise, Rodgers is going to be pissed and not throw the ball at him.
Well, the reality here is with the Packers, this is their entire offseason. What's Rodgers going to do? Like, retire, not play, get traded? Because they said they're not trading him. And he hasn't showed up. He's not at the voluntary camp right now. But the mandatory starts here soon.
Yeah, we'll see after a couple weeks go by what happens.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that they won't trade Aaron Rodgers and just get, like, a huge premium for him just blows my mind.
Yeah, never said the Packers were the smartest organization.
I mean, like, they're so close to getting the championship, but they never want to go out and, like, really improve the team. Like, they always keep it really stagnant. I mean, it's always about the same.
What's the most profitable way to do it?
I guess, but it's like, why the hell would you want them to be in the NFC title game back-to-back? And you just can't get over that hump. I mean, like, Rodgers last year, he just threw basically – a roadblock in front of the Packers because he balled out. I mean, he had an MVP year. I think he only threw four picks.
Yeah, he was by far the best quarterback last year.
Yeah. Oh, Mahomes is right on his tail. Yeah. But I don't know. The Packers is just a weird situation that seems to be up in the air at all times.
Yeah, every single day we're going to hear that. Oh, Rodgers, he's leaving next day. Rodgers can't leave, so we'll see.
Keep an eye on it here, because I don't know what's going to happen, because they might just wind up finding him. And out of spite, he just might say, keep fining me.
No, I'm not paying you a fine.
Yeah, so it's just going to be interesting to watch.
For some injuries, Bakhtiari, their tackle, he has some issues right now that he may be questionable. So for their steal, I was going to put that receiver out of Clemson as their steal kind of pick, but instead I picked Royce Newman, an O-lineman out of Mississippi, due to the fact that he may start if Bakhtiari can't play. If not, he'll be a solid backup.
Well, but if Bakhtiari's not playing, that's a big loss.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it'll only be for a couple weeks. It's not going to be, like, for the season, but the first few weeks, he may not be there. I think if Roger stays, they'll win. If Roger leaves, they're having a losing season.
Yeah, I could agree with that.
That easy. Now we can move on to the Vikings, the greatest organization in the North. For their notable offseason pickups, they got Patrick Peterson.
Yep, that was a big deal for them.
That was about it. Otherwise, they just let go of some players. They got rid of Rudolph. I think they got rid of somebody else too. I can't think of their name though. But injuries, nothing notable. Their first draft pick, they got left tackle out of Virginia Tech, possibly the best player they could have got at that time. A solid tackle for years to come, I think. And then of course the steal, who is Kellen Mond, Texas A&M quarterback, 66th overall. Who needs Captain Kirk when you got Kellen Mond? Honestly.
Captain Kirk's times, it's expiring quickly, I think.
And Kellen Mond, he tweeted that he doesn't like Minnesota due to the cold weather back when he was in college. So he'll fit right in Minnesota because nobody likes the cold weather in Minnesota.
Yeah, but they deal with it.
For my thoughts with the Vikings, I literally just have not much happened. They lost players, game players. I don't know what to tell you.
We picked up a couple of different cornerbacks, though. Because, I mean, they got Breland, Ty Smith, Patrick Peterson, like you said.
Yeah, but Peterson's old. No, I don't know how much he's got left in the tank.
Yeah, but the thing is that they play it right because they kept some of their cornerbacks, too. And they still have Xavier Woods at safety. Just looking here. Yeah, and then they got rid of Rudolph. You said a Giant, right?
Yeah, Giants.
Okay, because they drafted another cornerback too out of California, Cameron Bynum. Just loading up with the secondary.
Yeah, but you can only play so many secondary players. I don't know why
that's the thing. But the Broncos have that problem too.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's good for rotations, but. Anyway, so for my rankings, maybe a little biased, I'll say. My first rank, I got the Packers at a question mark for number one. They're going to be the top team, maybe, depending on how it goes. My second team, I got the Vikings down. My third team, I have the Bears. My fourth team, I have the Lions. The only reason why I have the Bears at number three, because I just don't know how well Justin Fields plays. He's a rookie. It's different. It's new. So maybe he'll be really good and be able to jump up to that second, but I think the Vikings hold on to that second spot in the North.
I could agree with that list, but I think the Bears and Vikings are pretty much interchangeable at this point.
Yeah, and if the Packers lose Rodgers, I think everything just moves up and the Packers move down to four. I think the Lions can beat out the Packers if they don't have Rodgers.
I still think they're better than the Lions. It takes a lot to be worse than the Lions.
And now we can move on to the NFC South, where we will start with the Falcons. Okay, so I did these notes and these rankings before the Julio trade. So,
this morning.
Bear with me. Notable.
How dare you not have that in your notes?
I know. Notable offseason pickups. They have Alabama All-Star AJ McCarron, backup quarterback. Him? Oh yeah, signed him.
They got Cordell Patterson, too.
Yep, they got Cordell Patterson. And they got Mike Davis at running back and a few backups. Injuries, they didn't have any injuries at the time that I looked. Draft pick, they got Kyle Pitts, best player in the draft, without a doubt. Best tight end. And he will one day be the best tight end that the Falcons have ever had. Better than Tony Gonzalez.
Yeah, Tony Gonzalez played like 5 years there.
Don't care.
Kyle Pitts is going to be a baller.
Kyle Pitts will be the greatest tight end the Falcons have ever had on their team. And for their steal, they got a safety, Richie Grant, 40th overall. Be a great replacement for Keanu Neal. He's not going to be as good as him, but will be a solid player and a good safety at least.
Yeah.
And my thoughts were that if the Falcons kept Julio, the offense will almost be unstoppable with all the weapons that they'd have, but the defense will be weak. So they'll have to try to just blow out every team, hopefully, and just hope for the best.
That's been the Falcons' way of trying to win games for like 5 years.
At this point, it makes sense to trade Julio though and get some defensive players or picks. They got picks
and the cap space.
Defensive players and the cap space, but come on, get at least something on the defense. Like, fuck's sakes.
Well, I know, but their cap space issue, if with Julio on the books, they couldn't even really sign their draft picks. So it was actually a big deal. So they had to look somewhere to salary dump. So they looked at Julio and said, you're out.
I guess. But those are my thoughts with the Falcons. I mean, they lost Julio now, which it's going to really hurt their offense. But I still got good hope for them. I still think they can have a winning season.
I don't think they'll have a winning season. I think they'll be like middle of the road.
I think they'll stay competitive in almost every game. I don't think they'll get blown out. I think they'll be like a Chargers type of team where they lose by one score.
Maybe, yeah.
Now moving on to the Panthers. They got Sam Darnold, the best redhead quarterback of all time. And they got John Miller.
Red Rocket.
They got John Miller, right guard. That's kind of about it for their offseason.
They got Chuba Hubbard, too. At running back.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was my steal for their draft, was Chuba Hubbard.
He's really good.
They got him 126. He was one of the best running backs in college last year and was a Heisman candidate for a while.
Yeah.
And getting him a fourth round, he'll be a great number two behind McCaffrey. And if McCaffrey can't stay healthy, you got a great starter, honestly.
J.C. Horn, cornerback, that was a good pickup.
Yep, out of South Carolina. He's a big corner, got a large wingspan, and will be able to cover the bigger receivers down the NFC South. But with Julio leaving the South, all he has to really worry about is Michael Thomas now. And
Mike Evans.
And Mike Evans.
And Chris Godwin. And Antonio Brown.
Well, you can only cover one of them.
I know.
Antonio Brown isn't signed yet, so.
Yeah, he is. They picked
I
him up.
I thought he was.
No, it was pretty recent. Pretty recent. Okay. They just picked him up on a minimum deal with a lot of incentives.
For the Panthers, though, I believe they're putting all their chips on the table with Sam Darnold, and they believe in him. I don't share that belief, and I think this team will implode by week six.
Yeah, potentially.
I have I don't zero
know why
faith.
I don't know why they have all this on Sam Darnold of all players. I mean, maybe he's going to be good, but because he's been stuck in Jets hell for 3 years.
Yeah, but I don't
think
he was even that good when he played at USC his senior year.
Like, I didn't
he
either.
Really bad.
I didn't either, but maybe this will be like a good change up for him early in a career. I don't know.
Maybe. Now, moving on to the Saints. They didn't really have that many notable offseason pickups. I mean,
besides Drew Brees retiring.
Besides Drew Brees retiring. But yeah, that was their whole offseason, basically. Injuries, nothing really noticeable. A notable fuck. Draft, their first pick. They got Peyton Turner. A D end out of Houston, 28th overall. This guy's big. He's 6'6". Talent-wise, though, it didn't really seem like he deserved to be a first-rounder. Played for a smaller school than the D1 with Houston, but maybe with the size, they didn't care about the skill. They figured they can teach him that later.
The other thing is they lost Emmanuel Sanders.
That's true.
This team is going to stink. They're going to eat four W's with Jameis Winston at the helm.
Maybe. And then they're going to put Taysom Hill in and win out the season.
I don't know. Be weird. Possibly.
For their steal, I got Pete Werner. He's a linebacker at Ohio State, 60th overall. He's a solid middle linebacker and be able to have an immediate impact starting on the defense for them. I have that. My thoughts. At this point, when I was in my notes, I've been writing notes for a couple hours, and I was a little overwriting the notes at this point. So I said that the Saints will either win the NFC South and Jameis Winston will be MVP candidate, or they will be fighting for last in the NFC South.
I'm going to go with the latter.
I'm also going to go with the latter, but you know what? There's the possibility that Jameis is the MVP. And instead of eating W's, he's going to be eating MVs and P's.
If Jameis Winston is an MVP candidate, aliens are officially on Earth, and we are concerned about our lives.
Well, you heard it here first.
Just putting it out there. I will put any amount of money that he is not going to be an MVP candidate.
Now going on to the Bucks for their offseason, not a lot of pickups. They just basically re-signed everyone.
Yeah, they also re-signed, apparently, the feature, which is Blaine Gabbert. And then they also have high praise for their quarterback that just drafted, Kyle Trask out of Florida. So I don't know if you saw that quote here this past week. I think it's just Bruce Arians like blowing smoke up everybody's ass, but who knows.
Oh, no. So their first pick, they got Joe Tyron, outside linebacker out of Washington. Didn't play last year and likely will not play that much this year. But, I don't know, maybe he'll take some heads off on kickoff or something like that.
Yeah.
They didn't really need much for picks this year. So, for their steal, I got Kyle Trask as their steal. I'm very high on this man. I'm on this guy's hype train, and I think once Brady retires in 15 years, Trask will be able to hold his own in the league. So,
that's Brady retires in 15 years.
That's my thought on it. For the Bucks, they have the same team as last year. So yeah, I guess they should win this year. But I feel like they're gonna have a disappointing team this year. But
well, I think they're gonna take
that's
the
just my
South.
Gut. My gut feeling is that they're gonna have just for some reason they're gonna fall apart, and it's going to be a very disappointing year for them. But also, that's just my gut feeling. I believe they're going to win the South.
They should win the South. I mean, theoretically, I don't really see what other team in the South has a shot at dethroning them.
Yeah, the first ranking was really easy for me. I got the Bucks at number one. Past that was very hard, so I just went Falcons, Saints, Panthers.
I'd probably go Falcons, Panthers, Saints.
Yeah.
I don't think those three teams are going to break 500, to be honest with you.
2-4, I can see them moving around all over. So I don't even know. I could see the Panthers being third. I can see the Panthers going up to 2, Falcons going to 4. I don't know, dude. With them losing Julio and everything, like if they had Julio, they were a locked 2 pick for me. Now that they don't have Julio,
It's a wild card.
It's a wild card now. But now moving on to probably the best division in football, the NFC West.
Yep.
We got some notable offseason pickups. Cardinals. We'll start with them. They got A.J. Green, J.J. Watt, Malcolm Butler. They're loading up. They're making a run.
I think that they're going to be really good this year, to be honest. But it's going to be so tough for them because basically every team in the West right now is supposed to be good, right?
Yeah. So,
but there's only so many wild card spots. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting.
For injuries, I got nothing notable. For their first pick, they got Zaven Collins, a linebacker out of Tulsa.
Whoa. I'm reading something right now. It just doesn't sound right. Let me read this to you.
Okay.
Cardinals transactions, May 28th, 2021. Traded cash to the Pittsburgh Pirates for third baseman Eldarmo Vargas.
For, like, quarterback?
Third baseman.
I think you're looking at the wrong Cardinals.
No, I'm looking at the Arizona Cardinals because the next thing is signed punter Tyler Newsome.
So they either got a third baseman to maybe throw the ball or someone at ESPN screwed up and went on the wrong Cardinals to put this transaction.
I like to think I'm on the boat that ESPN screwed up, but
I'm gonna guess that. But anyways, their first pick, they got a linebacker at Tulsa. He's a solid linebacker. That'll be part of a stacked like linebacking core and defense. That'll help hide his weaknesses and make him a standout rookie this year, I think. Yeah. For their steal, they got a cornerback on their 223rd pick called Tay Gowan out of UCF. He won't be starting this year, but he'll likely be able to sit behind some veterans that'll help him grow and potentially be a starter in the future. They didn't really have a lot of steals, so that's what I had.
I'm looking here in their pickups. They picked up Malcolm Butler too.
Yeah, I had that. Yep.
And Matt Prater. You got him back in there on the 2-year. I mean, they got a couple decent things.
Yeah. My thoughts on them: Cardinals last year, I think, were only a few plays away from being a tough team to take out of the playoffs. I think this year they come back with a vengeance and potentially become one of the best teams in the NFL.
Yeah, I could see that.
Now moving on to the Rams. Obviously, they got Matt Stafford. They also got DeSean Jackson and Leonard Floyd.
I didn't know about that.
Yep, they got a linebacker, a receiver, and a quarterback. So doing all the right things. They have no real injuries. They didn't have a first-round pick. And
yeah, they drafted Tutu Atwell.
That was a second round pick, wasn't it?
It was a second round pick, but that was the top pick.
Yeah, that was a top. Yeah, I just had none for their first pick.
Yeah.
And then for their steal, I got a Bobby Brown III, D tackle at Texas A&M, 117th overall pick, mostly because he has the third in his last name, and that just has to mean that he's a really good player. But on top of that, what about
Ernest Brown IV?
Well, Bobby Brown III is a 6'4", 321-pound D tackle. We got 5.5 sacks last year at nose tackle, which is very hard to get sacks at nose tackle. And he'll be able just to take up space and pull blockers and be able to get the linebackers running, which will be really good for the Rams. My thoughts on the Rams are now that they have a competent quarterback, it's going to be very interesting to see how Matt Stafford will play on a winning football team, you know? Yeah. He deserves it and everything. It's just the NFC West is just so stacked, though. It's going to be tough to figure out who wins what.
It's going to be a complete arms race in that division.
Yeah.
I think Seattle, if I had to pick a team that's going to be the outside looking in, they're that team.
I think the 49ers would be the outside team looking in.
No, I think San Fran's going to be all right. It depends, though. I don't like the gamble they took on Trey Lance. I'm not a big fan of that.
That's my thinking. Moving on to the 49ers, we got notable offseason pickups. They got Jason Verrett, a defensive back, and they got Alex Mack, a center, a really good center. He played for the Falcons for a while. injuries, they didn't have anything notable. And then moving on to their draft, they got Trey Lance, third overall, NDSU quarterback from Marshall, Minnesota. I trust Shanahan in his decision-making. However, I don't know if Trey Lance will be a Hall of Fame caliber player. And if you're picking a quarterback third overall or top five, you want a Hall of Fame quarterback.
I think that they missed the boat and they should have got like Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan would have thrived there.
That's true. With Shanahan knowing how to play with Matt Ryan and everything.
Yeah, and Matt Ryan's not foreign to that offense either. Like, because, I mean, they were so caught up in trying to get Rodgers and Stafford that I think they kind of missed the boat on Ryan.
Yeah, no one really thought about it. But with Jimmy G's injury problems, I think it's a good pick, but I don't know. I don't think they should have got him. But if they don't think that Jimmy G can stay healthy, then sure.
Well, they basically threw Jimmy G under the bus, went forward or went backward, went forward or went backward multiple times. And now they're like, it's all good, right?
Yeah, every time, like, dude, every time.
Like, if they haven't, they should just trade him. I mean, they obviously don't want him playing there.
Yeah, they don't want him. They might as well get some trade value out of him before people realize that they don't want him, even though everyone knows they don't want him.
Everybody knows it.
For their steal, I said Trey Sermon. He's a running back at Ohio State, 80th overall, with a run-heavy team like the 49ers, even though he's going to be like a third running back from them. With all the snaps and all the running plays that they're going to be playing, he's going to get a lot of playing time and like be getting about as many snaps as a second string player would be getting. So I think he'll get a few like pretty like big touchdowns here and there, like a few like 40-yard, 50-yard touchdowns. That's what I'm thinking on him.
Well, my whole thing is their offense, I think, is going to look a lot different because we've never seen Kyle Shanahan really with a running type of quarterback.
Yeah, with Trey Lance, seeing how that goes. See if he does some read option, tear his knee up.
Possibly, yeah. That
possibly could happen. my thoughts on the 49ers is that the 49ers will be okay this year. I just don't think they win the West, and they likely finish 10-7.
I could see something like that.
10-7 or 9-8. I think they have a winning season, but I don't know. I can't.
They're taking such a big gamble. It's like they're in win now mode, but they went out and got a rookie quarterback who's really not that proven, to be honest.
No, he played 1 year or two years. I don't know.
He played like 1 year starting, I think. Maybe two. Not a lot of game tape on him.
He only played 1 year. He only had 17 games.
Okay. Yeah, he doesn't have a lot of tape.
Yeah. I don't think it's a good idea.
But I mean, like,
he's a local
totally
kid
wrong.
From my area, and he's getting paid, so good for him.
I guess.
We got
well,
the
so
Seahawks.
Is Carson Wentz.
That's true. Well, see, I don't know. I don't count Carson Wentz from my area.
Bismarck and Fargo.
Yeah, but I didn't grow up in North Dakota. I grew up down in southwest Minnesota, where Marshall,
Minnesota. It's your current place of residence, Fargo, North Dakota, David.
Yeah, whatever. now going on to the last team that we have to talk about, we have the Seahawks. For their offseason, they picked up Carlos Dunlap, which that's good. Their defense was pretty abysmal.
They grabbed Alden Smith, too.
Yeah, Alden Smith, too, With the defense did look a little better by the end of the season, though. I'll give them that. I just hope that I wish they would have got some like offensive linemen or something for Russell.
They got Gabe Jackson. He's that offensive guard from the Raiders. They traded for a 5th-round pick.
Is he going to be starting, though?
I would assume so. He started for the Raiders. And they picked up Jordan Simmons, Cedric Agbuhi. However you pronounce the last name. They're both a lineman.
Okabowie?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I can see the dude's face in my head right now from Madden or whatever. Yeah, it's pretty good.
They made some moves, probably not all the right moves, but they made some moves there. And then, like, in the draft, they only have 3 picks.
Yeah,
they took their 6th-rounder on a tackle.
Yeah, for their steal, I literally picked their first pick, I believe, with Dwayne Eskridge, a wide receiver out of Western Michigan.
Yeah.
My note literally is, with only 3 picks, not many options for a steal. This guy's 5'9". He's fast. He averaged 19 yards a catch over five seasons, so he has that big playability. He did also only play for Western Michigan, but every time he catches the ball, getting about 20 yards in 5 years of playing it, doing that, that's still pretty nuts, no matter where you play at. So hopefully he'll be able to be a good option with a good, like, fourth option for them.
The whole thing is with Seattle is everything's just literally on Russell Wilson's shoulders again. So it's like, how long can that last? Like, it's really not sustainable.
And DK's kind of getting targeted a little bit outside the league with him running for the Olympic trials or whatever. He's getting some negativity, so I don't know how that's going to affect him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they got a really good offense. Their defense has lagged. Their O-line has lagged. I mean, they got some holes, and they haven't really done much to fill it.
I think if they can just get at least a – because they got Dunlap, who will be a good rusher. They can get good pressure on the quarterback and be able to hold the defensive line with their linemen for just like a half a second longer for Russell. I think they'll be good, but who knows?
Yeah. Well, with the West, I'd probably say my rankings, I'd go probably Rams at one, Cardinals two, Niners, then Seahawks. And the thing with that ranking that's messed up in my head, I don't – like, Seattle's not going to be like this garbage team. Like, they're still going to probably have a winning record.
With the my thoughts with the Seahawks were, with them not having like a lot of picks and not doing much with free agency, I think it'll be a miracle for them to be better than they were last year.
They were 12-4 last year. They were pretty good.
Yeah, and I don't think they'll be able to get 12 wins again. I think they'll get 11 maybe.
Yeah, but I can see 10 or 11.
With a really tight West though, it's going to be hard. My my rankings for them, so I got the 49ers last. I got the Seahawks third. I got the Rams second just because of Stafford being there. I think it's going to be – if they're not second in the West or winning the West, it's going to be a disappointment. And first I got the Cardinals.
Gotcha. Okay.
And so I decided that I wanted to do a top 16 ranking with the NFC East – or with the NFC total. So 16th, I have Washington football team. I think they will be the worst team in the NFC. I then have the Eagles at 15. I got the Lions at 14th. I got the Panthers at 13th. I got the Niners at 12th. I got the Bears at 11th. The Saints at 10. I had the Falcons at 9. I don't think the Falcons should be at 9, but this is what I had before they traded Julio. Had the Cowboys at 8. Seahawks at 7th. Giants at 6th. Vikings at 5th. Packers at 4th, Rams at 3rd, Cardinals 2nd, Bucks 1st. So I think the Cardinals and Rams are going to be a top 3 team in the rankings, but one of them is going to be the wild card.
Yeah, I could see that. I don't know. It's going to be kind of weird because for, like, the Rams and the Niners, they made a big change at quarterback. So it's like, how long does that take to adjust? Because we saw that with the Bucks last year.
Yeah, I think – the Rams will be pretty good, though. I think they'll be fine because I think McVay is more adaptable than Arians.
Yeah. Well, they'll be good. It's just how long is it going to take before they fully click? Because the Bucs didn't really fully click till like, the end of the season.
I guess 3 weeks.
3 weeks.
3 weeks, and Stafford's got it down.
Maybe. The benefit they have is they actually get to have OTAs and everything this year, too, I guess.
Yeah, so it'll be a lot better. It's a lot harder when you don't have that. I mean, the Bucs clearly showed.
Yeah. I think that's why the Bucs got beat down by the Saints twice last year.
Yeah. That.
And those games weren't really close.
Yeah. So, for this, I have in the top, we'll say top six, or what is the playoffs, eight teams? Or seven teams now, right?
Seven teams, yeah.
So my top seven, I have one. I have one team from the NFC South.
The Bucks.
Yeah, it's the Bucks. I have three teams from the NFC West: Cardinals, Rams, and Seahawks. I have two teams from the North: the Vikings and the Packers. And then I have one team from the East, and that's the Giants. The Cowboys are at the 8th. So, I mean, they're right outside.
Yep.
That's how I think it's going to go.
Yeah. Well, the NFC West.
The Giants or Cowboys could flip. The Giants or Cowboys could flip. But I think the East only gets one playoff spot.
Yeah, no, they won't get more than one. Only thing that sucks about this is injuries happen. So it's like, that's the big variable. This is
a way, way, way too early ranking. But
in other news, game 7 between the Mavs and Clippers is going on right now. Just started.
Oh, how did the Hawks game go?
The Hawks won by 4.
Nice. Go, go, Trey.
So they barely snuck it out. And it was in Philly. So that's a big deal.
Can I become an Atlanta Hawks fan now, even though I don't watch basketball?
You can. You just got to buy yourself a jersey.
I'll claim them as my team now that they're winning and not only getting like 15 games.
The bandwagon's so big it's going through Faro.
Hell yeah, brother. Give me my Trey Young jersey.
But yeah, not hoping Dallas knocks the Clippers off, but they're in LA, so who knows?
Yeah, I think everyone's going for the Mavs here. I don't think anyone wants to see the Clippers win.
Well, the thing is, if the Clippers lose tonight, or today, I guess, we're still in the afternoon, then that team's probably going to implode, and it's going to be kind of fun to watch.
Other than them, so is it just Brooklyn that's left for big market teams?
Let me look.
Extra sports talk at the end of the football pod. Exclusive content for those of you that stayed and listened for the whole episode.
So you got the Nets in there. They're playing the Bucks in game 2 tomorrow. Brooklyn won yesterday. Nuggets and Suns. And then the Jazz play either the Clippers or the Mavericks.
Yeah, so it'd just be the Clippers and the Nets then.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, the Sixers are good. They got some pretty good talent on their team.
I suppose, yeah, Philadelphia, that's big market. I'm thinking just, like, big market teams.
Oh, big market? Yeah, big market teams, you're right. It's Brooklyn, L.A., and Philly at this point.
Yeah.
Because the rest of these teams in there are just, like, smaller markets. I mean, you could technically consider Atlanta a big market, I guess.
Yeah, but not through the history of the Atlanta Hawks, though.
No, not the history of their sports teams.
Or the
I'm just saying in terms of populations. Just in terms of their population.
The Atlanta Braves.
The Braves are the best team that they have.
Do they have a hockey team?
They did. The Winnipeg Jets used to play there. They were the Atlanta Thrashers.
Oh, it's a good thing they're not there anymore. They don't need any more disappointment.
Yeah. Winnipeg's in the playoffs, so.
Yeah, they wouldn't be in the playoffs if they played in Atlanta.
You got a fair point. Nobody wanted to play there.
Do you think this is a Winnipeg Jets game that big hit happened in, right? Do you think that guy, if he gets out there on the ice, gets his ass kicked every single time he's out on the ice?
Maybe. He seems like kind of a goon. He got suspended for 4 games, but it's kind of a tough call, I think, because it looked like it was a pretty clean hit. It's not like he came from the other side of the ice and just drilled this guy. The guy just happened to get in his way.
I mean, the guy's going 100 miles per hour and hit him right in the head.
Not saying it's right, not saying it's wrong, but it happened.
I'm saying it's wrong because you could hit the guy anywhere else. You could have hit him in the chest. You could have hit him lower. You didn't have. He literally just aimed for his head and went for it.
He took
The guy scoring didn't change his levels at all, so it's not like you can blame it on that. He just went right for the head, took him out there.
Yeah, I mean, he took him for a run. Pretty good one.
The thing is, I guess I never played hockey, but I would imagine it's kind of like football where you don't want to hurt anybody. You still want to be able to make plays and stuff, but your goal isn't to go out there and hurt somebody.
Yeah, that's fair. Tough but fair, David. Tough but fair. But, yeah, well, that's all I got for the NFC. I mean, I think that the West is going to run the entire conference, but it's kind of my take.
It'll be interesting to see how much longer the West can hold on to the stranglehold they have in the NFC.
Well, the thing is with that, like, it seems like the West has been pretty dominant here for the last 5-6 years.
Yeah.
Well, you can make a case right now, too, that the AFC West is going to be really stacked, too. I mean, because everybody's loading up. Kansas City's loaded. So it's like, that'd be fun to watch. And the Chargers are up and coming. I mean, we'll get to the AFC on a different pod, but it's like some of these teams are just loading heavy.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see once go go through some notes for the AFC to see how it all stacks up. But
yeah, I think the AFC is tougher than the NFC this upcoming year. That's another prediction.
You think the AFC is going to be tougher?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think there'll be like three teams in the AFC that'll be tough, and then the rest will be just pushovers.
Dude, there's three teams in the AFC East alone that are tough. Bills, Dolphins, Patriots.
Okay, so you can't put the Dolphins in the same.
The Dolphins
category.
Are there. Are you kidding me?
No, they're not. No.
The Dolphins were damn good last year, dude.
They're gonna have a fall off year. It was a Cinderella
and
story.
They've been playing everything great too. They got draft picks out the ass. They made a lot of moves, signed players. Doing a lot of the right things. They were 10-6 last year.
No.
Hey, man, I don't want the Dolphins to be good either. I'm just saying, throwing it out there.
But you're going to want the Patriots to be good with Cam Newton holding the reins.
Well, the whole thing is with Cam Newton, I'll stand by this all year. He's going to get the starting job probably out of the gate, but then Mac Jones will be in there pretty quick.
You think it's going to be quick?
4 or 5 weeks.
4 or 5 weeks, all right. Well, we'll talk about that more when we get to the AFC pod. But until then, talk to you later.
All right, later.